The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and we'll begin our reading at verse 17. Mark, chapter 10, and 17th verse. And when he, that is the Lord Jesus, was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible." Amen. We'll end our reading there with the prayer God will add his blessing to the public reading of his own holy and infallible word. I would like you to join with me now. Unite your heart with mine as we look to the Lord in prayer. We need to pray tonight. There are souls that are in the balance this evening. There are souls tonight in the valley of decision. And only the Lord can give deciding grace and bring those souls through for himself. So will you pray with me that the Spirit of God will work in this tent this evening to the salvation of the lost? Will you pray that God will grant to me the power of the Holy Ghost? Let us pray to that end. Oh, dear Lord and eternal Father, we come once again to the presentation of the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. And, oh Lord, we have no other message to proclaim, for there is no other message worth proclaiming except the message of the saving grace of God. And, oh Lord, I ask as thy children pray and ask also, in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the merits of the precious blood, grant to me, Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost. And, O Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God fall afresh upon us tonight. And dear souls that are in the meeting, and, O Lord, they're without Christ, they're without God, they're without hope. Lord, they need thy salvation. I pray for them that, Lord, thou would save them this evening. Save them tonight. Now, Lord, grant to me that power. And help me, Lord, this evening to preach the word with sincerity and faithfulness. And help us, Lord, to preach Christ. In his precious and wonderful name, I pray. Amen. Mark chapter 10, and our text this evening is found in verse 21. Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. He seemed to have everything going for him. He seemed to have had the whole world at his feet. And yet, the Lord Jesus, looking upon him and beholding him. And I wonder what Jesus saw as he beheld that young man. But as he beheld the young man, he said to him, one thing thou lackest. You may have many things that this world has to offer you, but there is one thing you don't have. There is one thing thou lackest. Now, when you look at the gospel records of this man, we find that Matthew, Mark, and Luke have many things to say about him. First of all, Mark 10, verse 22, we learn there that he was rich. For we are told he had great possessions. Not just possessions, but the Spirit of God has recorded it. He had great possessions. He was a rich man. And how many in this world today believe that if they were rich, then they would have everything. They would have need of nothing. Men believe today if they won the lottery and were able to put a few million into their bank account, they would say, I have need of nothing. I can buy that big house. I can purchase that big car. I can go on holidays any month of the year if I wished. I have riches, I have great possessions, I have need of nothing. This young man was rich, but the Lord said, one thing thou lackest. You may have your silver and your gold, but there's one thing you don't have. So he was rich. Then Matthew tells us in Matthew 19, verse 22, Matthew tells us that this rich man was a young man. So he was a rich young man. He had riches and he was young. Many of us here tonight would like to be young once more, but that's not going to happen. So here was an individual, he was rich and he was young. Some people would say that's a perfect combination. Many years ahead of him to spend the money that he had and to enjoy his riches. Why? His life was now complete. He was young and he had lots of money. How many young people in this world today, many young people in Macrofell, how many young people here this evening say, well, I'm young, but how I wish I had riches. Well, this young man was rich, but the Lord said to him, one thing thou lackest. He was young and he could enjoy his riches. Just as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9, Solomon wrote, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Rejoice in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the day of thy youth. Young people today can rejoice that they are young. God willing, they have the whole life ahead of them. But here was a young man who was both young and was rich. But the Lord said, there's one thing lacking in your life. One thing thou lackest. Now when you go to Luke's gospel, Luke tells us something else about him. In Luke 18 and verse 18, there we read, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He was young. He was rich. He was a ruler. He had power. He had authority. He had everything. Everything a young man in this world would crave. Riches and power. Riches and youth and power. He had it made. What more could he want? And yet the Lord Jesus, beholding him, said, one thing thou lackest. And so here was something in this young man's life that money could not buy. He had the money to buy it, if it was possible. There was something in his life that was missing that money couldn't buy, youth couldn't obtain, and power couldn't acquire. He's the rich young ruler who came face to face with Jesus Christ in the way, and the Lord told him, there's one thing missing in your life. And I would earnestly pray, as I have done and as others have done, that souls in this tent mission tonight will come face to face with Jesus Christ. And that tonight you will discover that what's missing in your life was what was missing in that young man's life. Or what was missing in his life is missing in yours as well. But the difference is, this young man didn't seek to find out what was missing and put it right and correct the matter, but you have an opportunity to do that this evening. One thing thou lackest. And praise God, that one thing can be found in this tent this evening. You don't need to go outside the tent to find what is lacking in your life. Isn't that good? You may not be rich. You don't need to be rich to find what is lacking in your life, to obtain what is lacking in your life. You can have it here tonight. Praise the Lord. Here in this tent. You don't need to go outside the tent. Here tonight, you can have that one thing that's lacking in your life. You look at this young man, this rich young ruler, and you see here his request for the Lord, for the Savior. He put a request to the Lord and saying in verse 17, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" My, that's an unusual question coming from a rich young ruler. How many young people in Macrofell tonight, they're neither rulers or rich? But they would never think of asking that question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And for the young people in the tent tonight, I thank you for coming. I appreciate your presence here tonight. I'm glad that you're here tonight, that you're showing at least some interest in eternal matters, because that's what we deal with within the confines of this tent. We deal with eternal matters. We're not out to get you to sign a membership card of any church. No, sir. We're not after your money. No, sir. We are after your soul. We want to see your soul saved. We want to make sure that you're delivered from the lost eternity. We want to make sure you'll be in heaven with us. We'll be up front about it. We'll be out in the open about it. We'll not try and con you in any way. We're interested in your soul. And here was this request. And I noticed, first of all, his conduct. When the Lord Jesus, we are told, was gone forth into the way, the rich young man came to Christ. Mark the words. When he was gone forth into the way, verse 17. The Lord was gone forth into the way. He had already been ministering. He was going on somewhere else to minister. And he went out into the way. And it was then that this young man met the Savior. You see, really what was happening, the Lord was passing by. He was going on to minister elsewhere. And you know something? Through this gospel campaign, the Lord Jesus has gone forth into the way. He's gone forth into the way here on the Moneymore Road. See, the Lord Jesus is visiting Macrofield through this gospel mission. He's gone forth into the way. There are other times of the year when there's not the same emphasis placed upon a gospel mission or upon gospel preaching except in pulpits of the churches. But here is something different. Here's a tent mission. The town has been visited. Invitations have been given out. Individuals have been spoken to. Friends and family have been invited to the mission. Jesus has gone into the way. You don't get that every week of the month or month of the year. Just now and again. And so the Lord has gone forth into the way and he's passing this way. Now, how many in this tent tonight will seize the opportunity that the young man seized? The Lord was gone forth into the way, and the young man went to meet him and asked him about this question, about eternal life. Now, I've already said, it's not every month of the year that a gospel mission is held in Macrofelt or anywhere else for that matter. And so what we must do is seize the opportunity when there is a season of gospel preaching. Because by the time the next mission comes around, you may not be here. Just outside the house where we stay, there in Newton Abbey, there was an accident this morning. Young woman lost control of her car. Young woman in her 20s. Many 20-year-olds do we have here tonight? Young woman in the car lost control of the car. And the car crashed over a fence into a field and turned over a number of times. The ambulance came and took her away, and all her personal belongings scattered all over the field, CDs and other things. I don't know, she could be in eternity tonight. And as we were saying, there was a young lady going possibly to her work this morning, setting out to go to her place of employment, expecting to do her day's work and return home tonight, but she didn't do that. That didn't happen. She's either in a hospital or in a morgue tonight. And young people, I want you to get a hold of that. Death is no respecter of persons. And the next time a gospel mission comes around to Macrofelt, you may not be here. On our way here, we come down through Ligonier. And there's a large, I suppose you could call it a plaque on the side of the road. It's set in off the road. And there's a picture of a young man's face on that plaque. And there's some writing. And where that plaque is situated or located, that's where that young man was killed in a car crash. Wasn't an old age pensioner. He was a young man. No doubt thinking he had a whole life ahead of him. Two years ago, he passed out into eternity. And no doubt his parents put up that reminder, that memorial. And so I want you to get a hold of this truth tonight. This young man, when the Lord Jesus went forth into the way, the young man ran to Christ. Will you run to Christ tonight? Will you come to the Savior tonight and deal with this matter regarding your soul and eternal life? Because the same thing that was lacking in that young man's life is lacking in your heart too. The only way to have it remedied is to come to Jesus. Come to Christ. That was his action. Then you have his approach. We're told how this young man approached the Lord. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. Running to the Savior. Now, there's many commendable things said about this young man, and this is one of them. Came running. He ran in haste. Why did he run? Because the Lord was passing by. If he hadn't have run to meet the Lord, he would have missed the opportunity. I think it's a sad thing that it appears with many today. Oh, they're running all right. But they're running away from the Lord. I hear brethren and sisters pray in the little prayer cabin there about inviting loved ones, inviting friends, inviting workmates to come to the mission. And our brethren and sisters pray, oh, they're not interested. Don't even entertain it for a moment. No, I'm not by there. Not interested. Why, they're running away from Christ. They spend their time running away. No, I'm not interested in that kind of thing. Not interested in any gospel mission. Not interested in any listening to any preaching. A mission can come and go. 100 missions can come and go. But I'm not interested. And they're on the run. And they're on the run from the Lord. And they'll keep running. And they'll keep running until they run themselves down into hell. I'm telling you. Is that the run you're on tonight? You're only here tonight to please somebody. You're running away. You'll run one day into the darkness. For if you run away from Christ, where are you running to? Where are you going to? If you're running away from the Lord, you'll run and you'll run and you'll run and you'll run into the darkness of a lost sinner's hell. And I plead with you not to do that tonight. This young man came running to Christ like Legion when the Lord arrived in the land of Gadara. Legion was afar off, and when he saw the Lord, it says he ran to him. Legion got it right. And I trust you get it right tonight. Run tonight to Christ. I'll tell you something else that was commendable about this young man. When he came to the Lord, he came alone. The rich young ruler showed great courage in coming to the Lord that day. Because it says there came one running. One. Which indicates he came alone. Came by himself. The word here is emphatic. There came one running. As though the Spirit of God is emphasizing that we don't make a mistake. Spirit of God uses this word that one came running, just one and only one. It's emphatic. But that was most commendable. You know, we get a lot of courage when we're standing in a crowd. Different thing when we're standing alone. And this young man came to the Lord that day, and he came alone. Last Tuesday night, a young man came to Christ, and he came alone. Friday night, a young man came, and he came alone. Bless the Lord. Good when men and women show a bit of courage and a bit of backbone. Whatever anybody else is doing, they're coming to Christ. Will you show the same courage this evening? Will you show the same backbone tonight? Will you come? If your mate's not coming with you, if your friend's not coming with you, will you come? Play the man tonight. Don't be intimidated by anybody around you. This young man certainly wasn't. There came one running. I notice his conduct. I notice that he was courteous. When this young man came to Christ, we're told in verse 17 that he kneeled to him. That's commendable. Remember, the young man was rich. The young man was a ruler. And yet he took the humble position and he kneeled before Christ. No sign of pride here. Rich, young, and a ruler. And he kneeled down before the Lord. That was good, wasn't it? Pride didn't keep him from coming to the Savior. Just as pride has kept many a person from coming to the Lord and asking the Lord to save them and becoming a Christian. Pride has kept them from Christ. They have no intention of admitting or confessing that they're sinners. What? Me, a sinner? Stand up and stick their chest out. Say, no, I'm a good person. Who said so? Bible says there's none that doeth good. No, not one. So where did you get this goodness from? No, this young man, this was a young ruler, and he didn't allow pride to keep him from the Lord Jesus. For we know, and you and I know, pride has kept many a soul from Christ. Pride has kept many a soul out of heaven. And pride has paved the way for many a soul to a lost eternity. I tell you, that's right. Because men refuse to bow the knee before the Lord. And refuse to take that humble position. Why don't you take that humble position tonight? You may be young. You may wish you were rich. You may wish you had power. But listen, what about taking the humble position? Say, Lord, I need to be saved. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That leads us to consider his concern. Evidently concerned. Why else would he ask this question? Eternal life? Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now remember, he was rich, but he knew he didn't have eternal life. He was young. And he knew he didn't have eternal life. He was a ruler, and he knew he didn't have eternal life. And when it came to knowing about eternal life, well, didn't he come to the right person? He came to Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is the giver of eternal life. You'll not find it anywhere else. You'll not find it in the baptismal font or the baptismal tank. You'll not find it at the communion table. You'll not find it at a confirmation class. You'll find it alone in Jesus Christ. And lifting my hand to heaven and my other hand on God's word, I say before the God of heaven, God being my witness, salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. Not in the church. Not in any other place or by any other person, but Jesus Christ alone. Miss Christ, you miss heaven. Simple as that. And the rich young ruler didn't want to miss Christ. And so he came. Showed a bit of concern about eternal life. Are you concerned tonight? Are you concerned about whether or not you will be in heaven? Does it bother you at all that you may end up one day in hell? Are you concerned about those things? Maybe as a young person, you're caught up with the things of the world. Pop music, heavy metal music, clubs and drinking. And you look upon this tent mission tonight as just something to do with religion. And you say, I don't want to have anything to do with religion. Well, do you know something, my friend? Neither do I. Religion never did anything for anybody. Because you see, it's not religion that changes a man's life. It's Jesus Christ. And you see, that's what we're about. We're not talking about religion tonight. And I want you to understand that. Not religion. You think of the religions in the world today. It's Christ. It's redemption. You need to be redeemed. The hymn writer didn't write, you need to be religious. No, the hymn writer spoke about being redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What does redeemed mean? It means to be bought out of the slave market. Somebody to pay a price and buy the slave out of the slave market. That's what redeem means, and that's what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. He paid the price to buy sinners out of the slave market of sin. And this young man came to the Lord, and he said to the Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was concerned about eternal life. Have you ever been concerned about eternal life? Maybe it's just a term you heard some Christian friend use. Or it's just a term or a phrase you've heard the preacher use from time to time, and it means nothing more than that to you. But my friend, it's not a phrase. It's not just a religious term. It's real. Eternal life. The Lord gives unto his sheep eternal life. He went to the cross to purchase for sinners eternal life. It's real. It's something you experience. It's something you have. And if you have eternal life, well, praise God, you'll be in heaven. Now, what is it? Is it eternal life or eternal death? The Bible uses both terms, eternal life and eternal death. If you don't have Christ, you have eternal death. If you have Christ, praise the Lord, you have eternal life. So what's it to be? The young man came and made this request, and the Lord answered. The Lord replied to this young man. And over in Matthew 19 and verse 16, Matthew tells us something else that this young man said to the Lord. When he came to him and wanted to know more about eternal life, and in Matthew 19, and there in verse 16, we read, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life?" You see, he thought eternal life could be gained by doing good things. What good thing? That's what he had calculated. He had calculated that the Lord would tell him to go and do some good thing, some good deed, perform some good act, and then he would have eternal life. The Lord would say to him, "Now, young man, now you have eternal life." But the Lord didn't say that at all. The Lord said, "Young man, one thing thou lackest." And my, isn't that just typical of so many today? They think all they have to do is to do some good thing. Did you ever talk to a Jehovah's Witness? Did you ever speak to Jehovah's Witnesses? Their salvation, their religion is a religion of good works. I've talked to them. And as you get talking to them, it's all to do with works. Oh, we must do this and we must do that. And they're out early mornings going around the doors, and they're out every morning and they're out every night. You know, the problem with that is they never know if they've done enough. They think they can get salvation by their good works, by the things they do, but the problem is they don't know if they've ever done enough. That's some religion, isn't it? My, you could be doing good works for 60 or 70 years and still end up in a lost eternity. Oh, no. No, my friend, that's no religion at all. That's not Christianity. The good works come afterwards. If you think salvation is earned by good works, you're wrong. Salvation comes not by your good works, but by the work that Jesus Christ has done. That's the difference. So why don't you look tonight to what Christ has done? His work, the work that he did on Calvary, the greatest work that God ever did was done at the cross. Why was it done? For young men and young women just like you. For older men and older women just like you. Is that what's lacking in your life? You don't know the Lord. You're a good person. And I'm sure anybody who knows you would confess that, would admit that. Say, that friend of mine, that workmate of mine, that neighbor of mine, they're good people that do anything for you. But I'm afraid it's not enough. As Horatius Bonner wrote the words, "Not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Thy work alone, my Savior, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within." I can say amen to that. Thy blood alone, my blessed Savior, can give me peace within. He had already done good works, but it was one thing lacking. You look at this young man's cleanliness. He lived a clean life. He wasn't a blasphemer. The Lord Jesus had spoken to him, and he said to him, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." Many young people do that today. I think it's disgraceful how some young people address their parents and how they speak about their parents. Talk about the old man and the old woman or the old girl in the house. They're talking about their parents. I think it's a disgrace. No respect for parents. Young man or young woman in this tent tonight, are you at that game? Is that the way you speak to your parents and speak about them? Well, hear the Lord quoted the commandments, the responsibility of men to their fellow man. And the last one he finishes with, "Honor thy father and mother." And you know what the young man said? "Master, all these have I kept from my youth." He was a clean living young man. Some people think he was being hypocritical when he said that. That he didn't really keep those commandments. Well, I tend to differ. I think he did. At least he tried to. He lived a clean life. He didn't walk the dark side of the broad road. He sought to do the best he could, living a clean life, but he still didn't have eternal life. Do you see that? He had to come to the Lord and ask about eternal life. And if you have sought to live a clean life, I commend you for that. If you have endeavored to honor your father and mother, I commend you for that. May the Lord bless you for that alone. But your clean life will not prepare you for heaven. Sin is still there, still in your heart. You can't get that sin out of your heart, no matter how clean of a life you've lived. You can't get it out of your heart. Only Christ can do that. You can live a clean life, but one thing thou lackest. You can keep the commandments, but one thing thou lackest. You can do the best you can, but one thing thou lackest. And the Lord Jesus said to him, then Jesus, beholding him, we are told, loved him. I I said earlier on in the mission, this is the Savior I believe in. I believe in a Savior who loves sinners. I remember preaching one time and the rich young ruler and a young man came to me after the meeting. And he wanted to know how I could say that this young man was loved by the Lord yet never came to Christ. I says, well, first of all, the Bible tells me he loved him. And the Bible shows me he never came to Christ. He went away. But he still loved him. My friend, I believe Christ loves sinners. And he loves young men and young women like you, and he loves adults and older people like you. He loves sinners. Isn't that what they said about him? Isn't that why they criticized him? They said he eateth with publicans and sinners. Old Pharisees couldn't stand it. Jesus Christ loveth sinners. This man receiveth sinners. And I'm glad he does. Every Christian here is glad Christ receives sinners. If he didn't receive sinners, if he didn't receive the worst of sinners, if he didn't receive deep-dyed sinners, if he didn't receive filthy sinners, corrupt sinners, vile sinners, where would we be? But all that the Father giveth to me, the Lord said, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Not great. Isn't that great? So you can never say, well, I'm too big of a sinner for the Lord to receive. No, he'll receive you. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And here we read the Lord Jesus loved this young man. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know something? Christ loves you tonight. You maybe wonder how that can be. You remember the times, indeed even today, even before you came into the tent, you took the Lord's name in vain. You took the Lord's name in vain. You're always taking the Lord's name in vain. But you know something, the Lord Jesus says that blasphemy against the Son of God shall be forgiven. What do you think of that? Blasphemy against the Lord Jesus shall be forgiven. Now, what about it? What about receiving Christ tonight? The Lord told this young man what he was to do, sell all that he had, give to the poor, and he said, come and follow me. And we're told the young man went away. That's sad. That makes sad reading, doesn't it? It says that he went away. We were preaching last night about Hobab. And Moses saying to Hobab, come thou with us, and we will do thee good. And Hobab said, I will not go. And then the next verse or so it says, and they departed. Moses and Israel marched on to the promised land, and Hobab stayed behind. And even as Moses and Israel were about to move, what did Moses cry out to Hobab? He said, come with us. Leave us not. Don't leave us. And I would say this evening, come with us, young man. Come with us, young woman. Don't leave us. Don't walk away. May it not be said of you tonight, after this tent meeting, after hearing this word, may it not be said of you, he went away. A young man whom Jesus loved went away from Christ. The one thing he lacked, he didn't know the Lord. He didn't accept Christ. The one thing he lacked. And he went away. And he went away because the Bible does not record of him ever returning. Oh, how sad, tragic that is. Look at him. He's kneeling at the Savior's feet. Christ is the door of heaven. Christ said, I am the door. And where's the young man? Why, he's at the very door of heaven. He couldn't have got any closer without entering into heaven. He's at the door of heaven, and what does he do? What does he do? He goes away. There's many a young person, many an older person, and they've got that close to Christ. They're at the very door of heaven, yet they've gone away. Now, you're not going to do that, sure. That one thing that's lacking in your life, that is, you don't know the Lord. Now, you're not going to go away without him, are you? He went away. Someone after the meeting tonight may ask, what about so-and-so? He's in the tent there on Tuesday night. What did he do? It'd be sad if that person has to reply and say, he went away. You go away from this tent tonight, it can mean you're going away into outer darkness. I tell you, come tonight. I plead with you. Young man, young woman, come tonight to the Lord Jesus. It's the one thing that's lacking in your life. You don't have the Lord. Come tonight to Jesus Christ. And he said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You can be a drunkard. You can be a drug addict. You can be a blasphemer. You can live in the gutter of this world. You come to Christ, he'll not cast you out. Guaranteed. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our meeting is over. We'll be going out just in a moment or two. God has given us this word this evening. confirmed to us as we come through the tent door tonight that was the word for this evening. So that means the Lord has you here tonight to speak to your soul and to give you an opportunity to receive Him. One thing that's lacking in your life can be attended to tonight. As God's people are praying, I'm not just singing tonight, but I want to give you an opportunity to indicate to me that you'd like to be saved. I'm asking you this night if you would indicate you'd like to be saved, you'd like to know and experience eternal life. I'd like you to indicate that to me just now, wherever you are, if you just slip up your hand. Just slip up your hand, that's all. And when I say it, I'll acknowledge it and you take it down. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But if you just slip up your hand, I'll acknowledge it and you take it down. And we'll remember you in the closing prayer, and after the meeting's over, I'll be able to show you the way of salvation. How you can have tonight eternal life and be saved forever. Is there anyone in the service tonight? Will not prolong this appeal. Will you just slip up your hand right now and I'll acknowledge it and then you take it down. Anywhere in the meeting, quickly, before we close in prayer. You're not going to go away, are you, without Him? Anywhere in the meeting before we close in prayer. Quickly. Yes, amen. See your hand at the back there. You take your hand down again. Is there anyone else? Jesus, slip up that hand right now. I've seen one hand raised tonight. Maybe there's others and I haven't seen you. I'll be at the door. You just say to me on the way out, preacher, could I have a word with you? And we'll go out to the little cabin there on the right-hand side, and I'll show you from God's word how you can be saved. Will you stay behind tonight? Even as another staying behind, will you stay? Don't go away. I would say to the one who raised his hand, I'll be at the door. When you come to the door, just mention to me that you raised your hand, and then we'll go over to the little cabin there. We'll get before the Lord. I'll show you from the Bible how you can go home tonight rejoicing that your sins have been forgiven. Praise the Lord. O gracious God, we ask Thee to write Thy word upon hearts tonight. Lord, there are young people here, older people here, and they know. They should have raised their hand, indicating their need of Christ. Lord, work on in their hearts, I pray. That, O Lord, there'll be more than one in the little cabin across the way. Do a deep and lasting work. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen. As I've said, if anyone else is troubled about their soul, we're your servants for the Lord. Just go over to the little cabin and I'll see you there. Amen.